You are now listening to The Social Hour.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is The Social Hour with your typical bastards. I am Deese. And that's Brian choking on some beer.
That's Brian with a warm Rolling Rock in my mouth.
Because his girlfriend hid them from him, which is not a sign of alcoholism at all.
No, it's not. It's a sign of a guy that likes to party too much.
A battle for the alcohol in the Lori household.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the morning we're recording this. This is the second morning in a row I've been drinking at 9:30 in the morning, which probably isn't a great sign for me.
Okay, and you're calling me an alcoholic?
Hold on. Yesterday was for work, okay? I was filming at River City Brewery.
I'm doing air quotes, everybody. Work.
Yeah, it was really tough. It's tough. I should get paid double time. Time and a half, golden time for that work. But no shit, I rolled out of bed late. I've been getting my ass kicked last week. I've been so tired.
Same.
I rolled out of bed late, just barely got there at 9:30. I was still rocking my coffee from Rocket Bakery next door. And they start pouring beer down my throat. And I was just, I walked out there at 11 o'clock, like, lit up and just felt like my day was ruined.
Lit up like a Christmas tree, huh?
Yeah, it was fun. Everything went well. The brewers there are really fun guys, Moose and Todd.
I thought Mark was one of them.
No, Moose and Todd are at River City. Mark is he's like a manager there or something.
Okay, so he's not a brewer. I thought he was the owner for some reason.
I don't think so. I'm still not. What's the owner's name? I don't know.
I still got to meet the guy that works at the BBB. I'd like to chat with him about that. Is that just a guy that works there?
He's just hanging out there.
Oh, he doesn't work there.
Just a guy that hangs out there.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha.
I don't even know. I don't remember his name. I have the video somewhere. Video evidence to prove it.
Nice.
But, yeah.
Who knows, maybe River City will get a BBB endorsement.
There you go. Yeah, sure, maybe. That's real important for them. Yeah, it means something, because it's still 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into the new century, people. New millennium.
That's right. It's called Yelp.
Yeah, right. No kidding. So, yeah, we are at this Rolling Rock isn't quite as good as the beer I was drinking yesterday. River City impressed me with some of their beers, dude.
They got some good stuff.
I like a couple of their beers. They got, they were talking about an Imperial Brown they're working on for the fall, which I'm super stoked about.
Yeah, we love browns.
Do love a good brown. The Imperial obviously just means higher alcohol content. So, high octane brown, I think I can deal with that.
Sure.
I think I'm okay with that.
Especially now that it's in my neighborhood mostly, which means I can just take a stroll down there and walk home. You're not too far of a drive.
Nope.
And or a Lyft or Uber ride.
Right. Yep.
Or if you want to be a dick, a cab ride.
Yeah. Or or a bike if you want to be healthy.
Yeah.
So, but fuck that. So, yeah, that was my day. I feel a little off that I'm getting some 2 days into drinking at 9:30 in the morning.
Dude, summer is coming to an end. You got to do it up.
I'm depressed. I don't want to think about that. I'm depressed about it.
You know,
too.
That's what we're opposites, and you know this about me. I'm totally gay for fall. I fucking love autumn.
Yeah.
And there's just a hint of autumn in the air, just a whisper of autumn, and I dig it.
Yeah, I know. It makes me want to brush my teeth with a shotgun, dude. This shit is not, I was out last night, and I had just my, you know, my summer attire, sandals, Dickie shorts, and a t-shirt.
Sure.
And it was like almost cold.
Mm-hmm.
Light at night. Like 2 o'clock in the morning when I was headed home. It was almost cold.
At 2 in the morning, go figure.
2 in the morning.
It has been chilly. When I take my dog out at 6 in the morning, it's chilly. Yeah. A month ago, you're fine. But yeah, it's chilly in the mornings and the evenings.
It's starting to turn.
But you know when it's magical and it feels good.
Oh, God.
The problem is your negative attitude. You just have to embrace it, dude. You can't fight autumn. It's coming no matter what you do.
I know, but
just embrace it and enjoy the beauty.
That's why I'm escaping to Mexico.
That's true. So that's happening for sure?
Yeah. We're going to Cozumel.
And this is in October?
It's October. Start of October.
Okay.
Sounds pretty sweet. All inclusive. All you can drink. All you can eat.
Is it a cruise?
No. It's this hotel right on the beach. Got their own pier. The coral reefs, you know, free swimming and snorkel lessons and scuba diving lessons.
You have to be taught how to snorkel.
Not a strong swimmer. Sounds pretty sweet. I'm excited.
Scuba diving's great. I've done it in the tropics a few times.
It's pretty badass.
So what inspired this trip? It was kind of a last-minute thing I remember hearing.
Well, I was supposed to go to... The shitty thing is I should be in Argentina in October. That's where I should have been.
Okay.
But my fucking asshole, selfish cousin had to decide he wanted to get married.
Oh, and okay. That
during that time of the year.
Is this one of the big three?
This is one of the big three.
About on Facebook?
There's two of my cousins and I, we are effectively known as the big three in our family. Come from a large Mexican family, and there's tons of us. There's like, when I say I have 100 cousins,
it goes without saying.
It's redundant. We've actually been kicked out of family members' homes. We're not allowed to go there. There's some we can't go to, but we're not allowed to drink also when we're there. Alcoholism is a large issue in our family, apparently. Yeah, AA would make millions off us. Does AA make money? I don't think you pay them.
Yeah, somehow, no, but somehow they still make money. The CEO, we looked this up online one day because you and I had a little talk a couple weeks ago. It was two or three podcasts ago, not to get too off topic, about AA, and neither of us really care for it. It's bullshit. Like, why do they try to keep you down? They keep calling you a recovering addict, even though you're 30 years sober. It should be a former addict the day you walk in. Anyway, the CEO of AA makes approximately $160,000 a year. And how that money comes about, I don't know. Rich benefactors that are now sober? I don't know.
Yeah, good question. Because you don't pay to go to AA. I don't think you do. I think you just show up. You're in a fucking church basement. It's not like you're at a Crystal Cathedral somewhere.
But someone's paying for the shitty cookies and cheap coffee.
Right, yeah.
And cigarettes. So
yeah,
who knows?
Cigarettes. Yeah, smoking cigarettes and coffee. Just like, it's just one addiction replaced by another, but...
Yeah. I like how nicotine and caffeine is okay. Other ones aren't, but... Well, that's exciting. Cozumel, huh?
I'm looking forward to it. I need the break. I'll need it. It'll be great. It'll be a week. Actually, it's going to be like 10 days away.
Ooh, beautiful.
And I can't wait. So.
And then we got Belize next year.
Potentially. Belize coming up in April.
It's going to be
potentially. Don't put a negative
connotation.
Just say it's
Belize
happening.
Belize is coming up. It's going to be a couple's trip. Yep. It's going to be excellent. I can't wait.
It'll be Brian and I and another couple. But yeah, it'll be good.
Cool. I look forward to it.
So, check this out, dude.
Yeah.
Our beautiful city we live in, Spokane.
Mm-hmm. I'm picking up on a hint of sarcasm.
I
don't think you were sincere when you said beautiful.
It can be beautiful in ways. The fucking idiots that run this city, though.
There's plenty of them.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of the BBB, one used to work there that now runs part of the city.
Oh, yeah.
It's
really?
Amazing. Yeah. Jan Quintrell.
Okay.
She's one of the... Can I just say this real quick? She's one of the tackiest people I've ever met in my life. In my short stint at the BBB... The BBB was going through some tough times financially. We were kind of joking about it earlier in the podcast, you know, about being irrelevant.
Right.
It's because they are,
well,
especially in this area. They were hurting for money, so they were reorganizing right around the time I got hired.
Reorganizing. That's never a good... That's a good corporation.
And they're still doing it every 2 months from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Jan Quintrell, the then CEO, she calls a whole staff meeting and decides to say, you know, we're facing tough times, so even myself had to take a pay cut of about $23,000 per year. And I was just looking around. Is anybody else hearing this? What a tacky bitch.
Yeah, no shit.
This is no bullshit. There was like 18 employees at the time. The overwhelming majority of them were making less than $20,000 per year.
Oh, yeah.
And she has the gall to say, yeah, I'm taking a pay cut of over your salary. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh, shit.
Who put this bitch in charge? And now she's running some, like, business division in Spokane City. It's like, great.
It was like when, this is probably going to get way too off topic for local listeners, but, excuse me, Spear's getting me already.
Yeah,
I'm from L.A., and... The mayor for the last 8 years, up to about a year ago when he was replaced, was Tony Villar.
Okay,
know
the name.
Who is, most people may know him as Antonio Villaraigosa. Villaraigosa, his real name is Tony Villar, which is the way he went through most of his life until he became the mayor of a predominantly ethnic city and decided to go with Antonio instead of Tony. And he also slammed his name to get last name together, which was Villar with his wife's last name, which was Raigosa. So Villaraigosa. It's Tony Villar is his real name.
So Villar to Villaraigosa. So that's interesting. That's what I love about the Spanish language. He can just make those double L's work for him, whichever way he wants. It's either Villar or Villa.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy's a fucking moron.
Okay.
He failed the bar 5 times. Literally. This is
called studying.
He didn't pass it on the 6th either. He just decided, I fucking clearly am not good enough to pass this thing. He's a fucking moron. He's destroyed L.A. more than it was already destroyed. And
is this the guy that put in the meters downtown that, like, now zero out your money when you pull away?
Yeah, he was
in
charge of that,
And then it pings the meter maids, like, oh, free meter, somebody better come, like, take it, somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this guy, in a city that is actually last year was rated number one worst traffic in the world.
L.A.
He's been considered as the head of the Department of Transportation for our current presidential administration.
Smart move.
Yeah, right.
What's his relation to Obama? Like, what did he do?
He's a Democrat and he's ethnic. Mm. I don't know.
That's probably good enough.
Yeah, well, it seems like it. And I am not an Obama hater. I'm not an Obama lover. I know. Let's not get too political at the moment. But
it's not.
It's, you know, I think he gets more shit than he should, but I don't think he's a super great leader either.
He's misplaced in the White House, and
I think he's an intelligent guy. I think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he has some great ideas. I don't think he's a great leader.
Sure.
He's not strong enough to
Have you seen him lately? That guy has aged, man. I'm not just talking since his first term. I mean, it's compared to when his first term. Yeah, he looks 20 years older, but I mean, just in like the last 6 months especially, it's like, damn, this guy's put on some years.
Yeah, well, it's that smack habit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Takes it out of you quick.
That'll do it. Just gotta find the relief.
But anyway, back to this beautiful city of Spokane.
Yes, back on topic.
So I'm driving down. Oh shit, that was dangerous. Spilled a beer all over the computers.
Just for context, we're working on a desk right now that's literally smaller than the ones you find in a preschool.
Yeah.
We got like the laptop, the microphone.
It's the ones they give the special ed kids. With like safety rub around and everything.
Sharp corners.
I'm driving on East Sprague the other day.
Okay.
You know, the nice area.
Cruising for the hookers.
Well, I thought that. Feel like that was implied.
Okay.
It's down by the Bel Air Hotel. There's like that. Ooh. That, you know, there's the bikini coffee place and shit. You know,
part of the Bel Air Hotel.
Right.
They still advertise free HBO. As if anybody's going to that hotel for the fucking HBO.
Well, let's see. In the hour I've rented this room for, I'm gonna watch I'm gonna watch The Wire once.
That's
really all I'm gonna do. Then I'm gonna leave and masturbate into the curtains. So, that, by the way, another tangent. I'm gonna take forever to get to this story. The Bel Air Hotel. The funny thing about the Bel Air Hotel, I am convinced this is a chain of shitty hotels.
Okay.
And they are only in areas where the hookers are.
Because, but they're trying to fancy it up. They're trying to fancy their image up by calling it probably the Bel Air.
Well, literally, in L.A., or I should say South L.A., North Orange County, they butt up together. Mm-hmm. They're the two big counties down there. So there's a strip on North Harbor Boulevard, which is big, runs all the way through. Actually, it goes all the way to Disneyland. There's a strip where all the hookers hang out down there on Harbor Boulevard. And there is a Bel Air Hotel down there, too.
Is it the same kind of insignia? The same kind
I don't remember exactly. Okay. I just know there's a Bel Air Hotel. And I swear that I think the Bel Air Hotels just are a chain of just, like, hooker hotels. Because it's starting to be a little consistent.
Okay.
The thing I find hilarious about those hotels is that I believe they don't have a nightly rate. Like, if you would be
strictly hourly.
Well, no, they have hourly and monthly.
And weekly, at least this one. Like
hourly, it's like, hourly and weekly. It's like, I want to, you'd be wildly confused if you want to stay for night. Like, I need a room. Okay. For how long? Just a night. So like an hour?
Yeah.
No, just a night.
What, okay, are you hosting a gangbang?
Yeah, yeah. So like a week? No, just a night. Okay, so an hour. No, just tonight. Like, they'd be wild. Like, I'm going to have to check with my manager. We don't have a rate for that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I'm driving down East Spring the other night. It's dark out. This is at night. And I see a cop car sitting in this lot right next to the Bel Air Hotel. Just no lights on, just sitting there in this hotel, in this parking lot. It used to be like a Firestone mechanics place or something, right? Like tire shop, I think. empty lot, cop cars just parked there. And I'm like, hey, they're probably just watching the hookers, making sure nothing shit's going down. So, you know, the
sure. quote, picking quote, up the hookers when no one's looking. Yeah. Yeah.
So I drive by, and I'm like, all right, well, whatever. And I keep driving. Happened by, like, 2 days later, the same spot, or was it the next day? It was the next day. I drive by on East Sprague again during the day, because, you know, I mean, need a hooker again. It's daytime now.
Yes, you get cheaper rates. It's fine.
And I see the cop car is still there. Well, it turns out this is a cop car, and there's literally two mannequins sitting in the front seat.
Interesting you say this, because, dude, absolutely. I was actually driving down Sprague coming home from work, and I was going by Sonnenberg's, actually.
Okay.
And just, like, a little ways past Sonnenberg's, you have, like, these gentrified-looking apartment complexes.
Yeah.
The Cheesecake Shop is, like, in there, that new place.
Yeah.
Across the street from it was a cop car. And there's nobody in the driver's seat, but in the passenger seat was a fucking mannequin. And I noticed that, and I was like, shit. I instantly thought of Super Troopers, like, where the guy puts, like, the mannequin in there when he's, like, down by the river fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the first time I've ever seen that in Spokane. There was literally a mannequin just sitting in the cop car.
Yeah.
The empty cop car.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of that?
Well, I'm like, what is this? Is this like some sort of like scarecrow for hookers at night? Mm-hmm. Which is like, assume there's cops out there. We can't go out here now.
Yeah.
Or it's like those fucking fake
scarecrow
owls.
Scarecrow for hookers.
That they make, put on seafood restaurants to
yeah.
keep the pigeons
away. We've
got
some in my building downtown, actually.
Yeah.
It keeps the fucking seagulls and shit out of there.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? And really, you can't, once you leave this out during the day, it becomes 100% ineffective at night.
Yeah.
You need to move it, right? So people don't see it during the day and, like, realize there's a mannequin in there. And once they know it's a mannequin, it's like, it's become innate now.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
So.
Well, you would think so.
I would.
The hookers are probably so thwacked out, though. They
right,
see the car
true.
Again and they're like, oh, shit, cop.
There's actually a hooker down there, because I used to live not far from there, and I walked my dog up and down Sprague.
Yep.
And there was a hooker that literally didn't have a nose.
I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
She's got two bandages.
It's a white butterfly bandage.
Yeah.
And
she's
got
glasses. And I don't know how the glasses stay on.
Good point.
Yeah, she's with no nose.
She's got long, stringy, dark hair.
Yeah.
Glasses, skinny as fuck. I've actually seen her in my neighborhood a couple times. The first time I noticed her was at the building next door, as we've all talked about. The Sherwood, which is where the sukiyaki is and all the cocaine crack. It's Section 8 house.
That makes sense. Tracks.
She's been in the alleyway, and then I've also seen her when I'm driving down Sprague. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just wonder who picks that hooker up. And the only thing in my twisted brain that comes out is that
kind of blow into your nose.
Yeah, maybe that extra hole is some weird thing, like some weird fetish.
Maybe.
So
I want to know how she lost that shit. Do you think she just snorted copious amounts of blow, meth, or something?
I think it was her pimp.
She was like keeping some of the
bitch, where's my money?
Yeah, too much of the profits.
Yeah. What's mine is mine, and what's yours, we split it. That's that.
Sounds like you know. Mm. Yeah, I've seen her too, man. That's unfortunate, man. I can't imagine going around without
sucking
a fucking
dick
nose.
For money.
That too. Sucking dick for meth.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, yeah. I just said, they're like, how is this effective? You know, this just like the scarecrow for hookers was all I could think. This is what this, you know.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm glad you noticed that as well. Mm. Something else going on in Spokane.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've heard me make this bitch plenty of times off air. I think we share the similar viewpoint. It's early fall, which means it's time for the annual
Pig Out in the
fucking park.
Yeah.
First of all, what a disgustingly unattractive name. Way to make our city sound like it's not full of fat motherfuckers.
It's perfectly American, though.
It kind of is.
Is it not?
Yeah.
It just, the ugly pig out in the park. Just, it should be like gluttonous gut bomb in the gutter.
Yeah.
Just like, it just because it's a lit, like the alliteration is the only thing that appeals. And it's alliteration for retards.
It is, really. At this point. And here's my main bitch about it. My girlfriend is like, yo, let me guess. This is what you're going to say about Pig Out in the Park. And then she'll pretty much, regurgitate it verbatim.
Because she's heard it.
A million times.
A scant, 427 times.
It just pisses me off how everybody gets so excited about Pig Out in the Park. Like on Facebook, yeah, Pig Out in the Park, yeah. Dude, Pig Out in the Park, first of all, it's literally every other festival in Spokane, namely Hoop Fest, a little bit of Bloomsday. The only difference is it's all the vendors minus the event.
Yeah.
And then you get a bunch of has-been bands. Like, that's all Pig Out in the Park is. Now, Pig Out in the Park originally was designed to showcase the vendors, the food vendors that Spokane has.
Sure.
You're supposed to be able to go around and sample a little bit of each vendor.
Right. Like, why restrict yourself from getting E. coli from one restaurant
when you can get it from,
multiple at one time.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, let's it's called efficiency, people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's everything's full price, like they are at any other festival. You want to get a fucking big-ass fair corn dog? It's like $7. You want to get a big-ass plate of chow mein? It's like $9.
Right.
It defeats the purpose of the whole fucking festival, people.
I feel like it's not even regular price. It's like inflated prices.
It is. Yeah.
You know, it's like more than just regular prices. This is extremely inflated. Yeah, like you said, you nailed it. It was originally designed for people to go... Like, there was a... I guess this was before I ever lived here. Before you ever lived here, too.
Yeah, this was like when it first started.
It was, you know... $3, $4, $5 plates, and they were a little smaller portions, but
that's the point. You're sampling,
right? And you could try 4 or 5 plates in a night.
Supposedly, you know? This year they're bringing this back. Christina, who loves Pig Out in the Park, my girlfriend is not fat. For those of you that know her, she likes food. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's okay. Who doesn't? She was telling me this year they're actually doing the $3 portions.
She respects food.
Well,
she respects good food.
Well stated.
So as we do too,
and some shitty food. She loves it.
Well, there's all yeah.
She was telling me that this year they're actually bringing back the $3 portion.
You know,
but it's only during certain hours, like between like 2 hour stretches here and there.
Great.
Certain
so
vendors
I gotta,
are doing 3 hours.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Well, fuck that. You know what? But funny thing is, they said that last year.
Really?
Yeah.
That was they promised that. Now they teased us with that.
They said that last year, and it didn't happen. So, it we'll see if it actually happens this year. You know, I'm going to bitch about it, and then I'm going to say that I've gone every year.
Well, we live
since
next
I've been
door
here.
Car,
that's true.
I mean, we can't avoid it.
It's one of the reasons I go, actually I think the only reason I go, is there's a gyro place there.
Good gyros.
And I love a good gyro, and there's no good gyros in Spokane.
There used to be, and it was called fucking Santorini's. It was the place over by the old marquee right in that little square.
Yeah, that's right.
But they were only open on a whim. Little side tangent. We'd literally go in there on like a Friday afternoon at 3 in the summer. And like, oh, we're just about to close. It's such a nice day out. We're going to go to the lake. And they did this all the time. It got to the point where they finally quit putting their hours in the windows because they were so inconsistent. And then, bam, they closed. Big surprise.
That's like shocking.
And now some like shitty pho place is in there.
Fuck pho. Fuck pho. No, that's literally the name of it. Fuck pho.
Fuck pho.
Yeah, that's...
Here's my main bitch about Pig Out Now, too, is this. Walt Worthy is putting in that hotel next to IMB Center.
Yeah.
Which, that's going to attract more out-of-towners, apparently. They get better Broadway shows. Cool. Ultimately, it's supposed to be good for the downtown economy.
Yeah.
In the meantime, his construction crew is a fucking asshole about it, dude. The streets are blocked off. There's, like, actually a segment in front of my apartment building right now, which is Kitty Corner to where Pig Out in the Park is.
Yeah.
They've been blocking off the entire row of parking so the semi-trucks can come in with their giant loads of cement.
Right.
And that cuts in. So not only is the parking lot no longer there where the hotel is going in, which accommodated a good 300 cars.
Easy.
They're now also blocking off the street so they can get their construction trucks in, which means people that live downtown and work downtown are fucked when it comes to parking. And that kind of pisses me off.
Well, and how do they make that work with Pig Out in the Park now? I mean, how all the people that come down, the influx in parking, there's no overflow parking or any extra parking somewhere where people can...
Exactly. So selfishly, I kind of hope Pig Out in the Park suffers a little bit this year.
It will.
Just so Walt Worthy can, you know, go fuck himself. Actually, I take that back. No, Walt Worthy's a good man. He built a lot of business around here. I retract what I said.
I think he's...
He's
kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
But you gotta be an asshole to make that kind of money.
That's
true. So.
I mean, yeah, shit, when he redid the downtown... Was it Davenport? Mm-hmm. I think I read something. He spent like 34 of his own money. Not investor money, not loans. $34 million of his own money. To build that. It's like, how do you get that kind of money in the first place? Like, what did this guy do? Did he inherit it?
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, it could be.
So. Could be. Well, yeah. I'll probably go get my gyro. But I'm like SEAL Team 6 when I go there, dude. I'm in and out. You never see me. It's never there. Mm-hmm. And there's usually a dead Arab afterwards. So, that's...
I think falafels or gyros are Greek, aren't they?
Yeah, but...
Oh, you're still gonna care about killing Arab?
I feel like I'm not American. I'm a patriot, so you know.
All right,
and do my duty.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Pig Out in the Park, that's coming up. Look forward to that. The big band this year is Los Lobos. Who the fuck are they?
Oh, they did.
Last year we had the Zombies, at least.
Yeah, the Zombies was actually pretty sweet. We went and saw that.
Yeah.
And I fucking dig Zombies.
Yeah.
I dig Zombies. That whole era of music.
That Who's Your Daddy song? What's it called?
Yeah.
Who's your daddy? Is he rich? You know that one?
Yeah.
They actually jammed on that, man.
Yeah.
They made that like into a jam, so it was like 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
They were good. Los Lobos is, they did a cover of La Bamba. I think that's probably what they're most known for.
Okay.
And no one can replace Richie Valens, though.
True.
Richie!
Go Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Is he Puerto Rican?
No, he's Mexican. He was from...
What? No, he's Puerto Rican, dude.
Bullshit.
He's... Come on. The original La Bamba guy is Puerto Rican.
Dude, they didn't have Puerto Ricans in fucking Pacoima, where he's from, in the 60s or 50s.
I'm pretty positive he's Puerto Rican. All right, let's get to the bottom of this. All right, what's this fucker's name?
Well, it's Richie Valenzuela.
Okay. Okay. Are you looking it up?
Yes.
Okay, you got it. At any rate, that's what's happening. Pick on the Park, fall is here.
The Richie Valens, hold on, we're pulling up Wikipedia.
Yeah, I gotta say, pull the Wikipedia page.
Because it's always accurate.
Always. It's more accurate than people give it credit for, let's be real. Dude, it should be in his profile on the right where he's from.
Well, he's from Pacoima. I know that. From Pacoima. It's a place, it's a shithole in L.A. that makes in northeast L.A. that makes Tijuana look like Sandals Resort. he's fucking Mexican. Hold on.
Where does it say that?
You're asking a Mexican from L.A. about a guy who's Mexican from L.A.
Dude, there's a million Mexicans from L.A. There's 10 million Mexicans from L.A. You don't know if this guy's...
Richie Valens was Mexican.
You don't know all of them? No, I swear to God, he's Puerto Rican.
No, he was not.
Where does it say he's born?
He was born in Pacoima.
Oh. Okay, what does it say his heritage is? Dude, I swear to God, he's Puerto Rican.
No, you're thinking of Reggie Jackson. traditional Mexican mariachi, flamingo jumper... you have to understand.
We're going to get back to you. We'll post this on the blog.
We don't have Puerto Ricans in L.A. We have Mexicans.
He's Puerto Rican.
Do they have Mexicans in Miami? No, yeah, they have fucking Cubans.
Yeah, there's some Mexicans
there. They have
there.
Puerto Ricans in New York.
All right, whatever.
And then in the Northwest, they're called fucking Native Americans.
I'm going to give this one to you because you're a man of color when it's convenient. So
as long as the cops aren't around,
yeah, pretty much. So we'll give this to you in the meantime.
He is
agitating.
My dog's sorry, up, got her ears up. Why are we yelling at each other?
She's a pit bull. She's gonna bite my balls off. So you yelling at my master?
Mexican American.
Is that what it says? Really?
Yes.
Let's take a peek. Okay. Okay, but you know what? He's got a little Puerto Rican in him.
I think Puerto Ricans have a little Mexican. Well, actually, they have Spanish in them. They don't have Mexican in them.
Puerto Ricans. He didn't stab anybody in the daylight, though, so you're probably right.
Poor guy. Fucking die in a plane crash.
Yeah. Did he die with the Buddy Holly folks?
Yes.
Okay, that was in the same plane. That's right.
Yeah.
At least I got that right.
He was 17 years old, man.
Damn. I didn't know he was big that early.
Yeah.
Get all kinds of Puerto Rican puss.
Fucking no Puerto Ricans in L.A. We keep them out for a reason.
All right, good enough.
Anyway, moving on.
Wanted to comment real quick on something. Last week we were talking about Hollywood celebrities that we dig. Remember I couldn't come up with number three?
Yes.
I had the first two.
Yeah.
Couldn't come up with number three. I thought about it. Eva Green is my third.
I don't know that name.
Eva Green, you would know her. She was the Bond girl from Casino Royale.
Okay.
Brunette, dark, stormy eyes. Apparently she's in the new Sim City, which tanked.
Tanked hard.
$70 million budget, did $6 million opening weekend, and it dropped off from there. That's rough. But you know what? Fuck Robert Rodriguez. I think he's a shitty filmmaker. Machete was kind of fun. I didn't see Machete Kills.
I never saw it. It's too extreme for me. It's too much. It's just gluttonous for being gluttonous. There's no fun or action there's no fun. It just is too over the top. I don't like Robert Rodriguez either. I thought I liked first Sin City a lot.
Yeah, that was a great film. Can I say this?
Yeah.
Sin City, man. And Robert Rodriguez actually, as a filmmaker, made a smart comment, and I really dig it. I was super obsessed with Blu-rays and, like, HD prints for a long time. Okay, D- Deese is currently looking at pictures of Eva Green. And he's kind of sneering a little bit.
Stink face.
He's not into it.
Not impressed.
Him and I can appreciate a good-looking woman, but at certain times, our tastes run in wildly opposite directions.
She looks like almost a lateral move from Kristen Stewart to me.
Okay, that's actually very poignant. I can see why you would say that, but no, I dig it.
Right.
Here's the other one I like. I forget her name, but she's from the movie The Departed.
All
right. Which you said you never saw, right?
I saw it. No, I saw that. Great movie.
The chick that Matt Damon was kind of dating, and then Leonardo DiCaprio fucked her.
Okay. I can't picture her face right now.
She's exotic looking, but white. Anyway, okay, so back to my point. Oh, so anyway, I was very obsessed with, HD films and Blu-ray for a while, and transfers. Robert Rodriguez made a great point about Sin City. He's like, before Sin City, every black and white film, I'm using air quotes, black and white film, was literally not black and white. It was varying shades of gray.
Right.
Sin City is the first truly black and white film.
Yeah.
Which, I was like, yeah, that's actually a good point. That's interesting.
I thought Sin City was well done, well written, or just well put together, fun. I am a comic book nerd, though.
Yep.
You know who I really feel bad for in all this?
Who?
Is Frank Miller. Mm. So...
That guy hated Hollywood to begin with, right?
Well, no. He did because this... So, you know, tangent for those of our fans who aren't comic book nerds. Frank Miller is a well-renowned comic book artist and turned writer who really kind of got forgotten in the long run, except for hardcore comic book fans. You know, he created a lot of source material like, Dark Knight Returns, epic Daredevil stuff.
Was Batman Year One?
Batman Year One, and things like that. Like, The Dark Knight Returns is actually what the new Batman vs. Superman is borrowing from that a little.
Oh, no shit.
Some of that source material, too, in a sense. And then he actually wrote the first RoboCop movie.
I just read about that. And then they hired him to write RoboCop 2.
Yeah.
It got rewritten.
Well, they both got rewritten.
Well, then they brought him back to write RoboCop 3.
Yeah. He said that every single one of his scripts, there was less of his original script that he gave them in it than there was actual of his script. It was all rewritten. But and then he made the first Sin City got made,
mm-hmm.
and then he got a chance to finally direct a movie, which was
The Spirit,
which was fucking terrible.
I never saw because it looked like a pile of shit.
It was god awful. Like, I couldn't even finish watching it. I think I got maybe halfway through it and had to turn it off.
Was it based on any source material, or was it an original screenplay?
No,
by Miller?
The Spirit's an old comic book.
Okay,
Will Eisner, who is just God in the comic world is for an old writer artist guy had his it's an old comic book called The Spirit, so I mean there was lots of material for it, but God, the movie was so bad.
Okay.
Just so bad. And they were planning on following it up with him filming a Buck Rogers.
I love old space shit, dude. Yeah. Like 50s, 60s, like their version of sci-fi being on the moon.
Yeah,
like
Flash Buck Gordon and stuff like that.
Buck Rogers especially. I'm a huge Buck Rogers fan.
It was already working, and they already had pre-production going, and they shit-canned it because The Spirit did so poorly. So Frank Miller is really getting, I mean, you know.
So they're like, stick to comics, not making movies.
Yeah, apparently he's just not good at it, which is too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So Sin City... A Dame to Kill For, is that technically Sin City 2?
It's the sequel to the first movie, yeah. I mean, same characters.
That was in the works for a good 10 years, like or almost. Like, I remember...
The sequel?
Yeah.
Well, it's been 8 years since the first one.
Only 8, yeah. But I remember it was supposed to come out like 2 years afterwards originally.
Really?
And then it kept getting pushed back. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. He got pummeled in the theaters, though. I think even Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came back and... Yeah. Beat it.
That's still staying consistent.
That movie sucks.
That's what you're saying.
That movie's brutally bad.
I'm gonna wait till the Dollar Theater and or a Pirate Bay download.
I want to meet someone who likes this movie.
Yeah.
And then I want to no longer be friends with them.
I feel betrayed because Kevin Eastman, one of the original creators of the Turtles, he got involved and he was saying, he's like, you know what? I approve of this script. I'm into it. So now that makes me believe. Well, how much did you get fucking paid?
Yeah. Well, Kevin Eastman is also the only, I believe so.
Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird?
Yeah. Kevin Eastman is the one that actually still has a stake in the Ninja Turtles.
Is that right?
Peter Laird sold his a long time ago and, like, cashed out. Then Eastman was still involved in it.
Okay.
And he still is, like, a creative consultant.
Right.
Even though he actually sold the rights to Nickelodeon.
Right, I remember that.
Which was Paramount or Viacom.
Yep, yep. Same thing.
So, he, of course he's going to say, it's his money. You know, it's his money, money coming back to him. If, what's he going to do? This is a shitty movie. Exactly. I'm the creator, this is a shitty movie, and then I don't get more money.
Yeah, he did an AMA on Reddit recently, as you know, I'm a big user of, and he was like, yeah, Kevin Eastman here, talking about the new Ninja Turtles movie, and he, all his comments were, like, so PR coached. Oh, you could tell, yeah. Like, that's why the fans are loving the new movie, and, like, all the comments were like, they are? You know, like, and he didn't reply to those ones, of course.
It is brutally bad. It is so brutally bad. I Michael Bay, just raping more of my childhood. What's next, E-Man?
Yeah. Thank you for saying raping your childhood, by the way. We've talked about this on a couple of podcasts. My affinity for grammar and certain phrases that kind of piss me off. Raping my childhood? Okay, I can get that. I can get on board with that phrase. Here's the one that I hate. Ruining my childhood. Like, when Michael Bay came out with the first Transformers and people heard about his original incarnation of the Ninja Turtles, all the bloggers out there were like, Michael Bay's ruining my childhood, thank you. And I'm like, actually, you fucking retard, you're like 28 years old. Your childhood already happened.
It's over.
Yeah, so, you know, you can still go back and watch the old cartoons and, like, relive those.
Right.
Your childhood already happened. So the only way Michael Bay would have ruined your childhood is if he went back in time and, like, fucked your mouth or something. That's the only way Michael Bay's ruining your childhood.
One way to do it. Yeah. All right. There's other ways.
He could have also taken an Optimus Prime and stuck it up your ass.
Seems oddly specific, but that's... Okay.
I just that phrase, I always thought that was like sloppy comedy, right? I'd see it on crack.com a lot. Like, another way that so-and-so is ruining my childhood. It's like, your childhood happened 20 years ago, idiot.
Past tense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, that, yeah, I can't. It's a terrible movie. Michael Bay makes terrible movies. We've talked about it a million times.
He does. Speaking of, Bad Boys 3 just got announced. I think Martin Lawrence probably needs the work.
Yeah. Yeah, badly.
I kind of like Bad Boys 1 was alright. I actually love Bad Boys 2, to be honest. I find it highly entertaining.
I feel like I think I actually own it. I don't know how I ever...
I've seen it in your DVD collection, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know how I became the owner of it, because I'm sure I never bought it. Yeah. And I don't think I've seen that movie since it came out in the theater.
It's enjoyable. I look forward to seeing what they do with number 3.
Yeah. Alright. So, alright, well, we're going to, we actually need to get some more beer. We're going to take a quick break for a sponsor.
Hold that thought.
And we'll be right back.
And we are back. Welcome back to the Social Hour with the Typical Bastards. I had a little break to make a word for our sponsors. Rolling Rock Beer, in this case. But we were talking about Michael Bay and his awesome movies. You know, Bad Boys 3 was just announced because Martin Lawrence really needs the money. Will Smith probably fucked his girlfriend back in the day and was like, you know what? I'll do this movie with you because you need it. Yeah, I'll make it up with you.
You need that crack money.
Yeah.
Crack money.
Well, Martin Lawrence is probably doing okay, though. Yeah, it's his net worth is probably a couple mil at least, right?
You think so?
Oh, yeah, I do. Dude, between, like, he's done a bunch of movies, like Blue Streak, his show, Martin. I don't even know if that gets syndicated anywhere.
He doesn't seem like a guy who is good with his money.
Mm. Hopefully he had a good business manager.
Yeah, Cousin Fruity.
Yeah.
My Cousin Fruity has all my business.
Cousin Lupe, he does my taxes.
Yeah, no, you need someone like a Steen, a Stein, or a Berg.
Yeah, get a Jew in there for sure. We're not shy of that.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I am. I'm okay with it.
But yeah, get a Jew. So, I've got something I want to talk about on moving to the small screen.
Okay.
A show we both love, and I feel like a lot of our fans, people who listen, we know, love this show. Or maybe loved, past tense, Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
little Arrested D.
Great, great show.
Brilliant show.
Probably the funniest and most well-written comedy show ever.
Ever?
I think that's probably pretty fair to say.
Yeah, I'd go there.
At least in the competition. Sure. It's in the arena.
Yeah. It's
small company.
It's brilliant. The way they bring the layers of jokes, just layer after layer after layer, the timing, everything about that show was just flawless.
Yeah, very much so.
Even though it gave the world Michael Cera, it's still awesome.
not a Michael Cera fan, huh?
Not big time, not big.
Your bed sheets call you a liar. this is an article with Will Arnett, who has confirmed that there will be a season 5.
I've heard about this, and then a movie after, apparently. They keep talking about doing a movie, but it's like suddenly there's one more season than a movie.
You know, it doesn't say anything about the movie, so I still feel like it's hinging on how well this season goes.
Okay.
Because, I don't know about you, but season 4 for me, I struggled through it.
Yep.
And I will never watch it again.
Yeah, as did I, dude. I've been a diehard fan for years. You remember before you even watched the show on Netflix, I was telling you about how awesome the show was. I've been waiting since like 2006 for season 4. Yeah, it was hyped up a lot. I probably hyped it up a lot in my mind, but it just fell the fuck off.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
it was borderline unwatchable. For someone who will, I would watch season 1 through 3 infinite times. I will forever be able to watch any of those episodes as unlimited times.
I can't get tired of it.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely not. And you find new jokes. It's always funny. The season 4, there were so many problems. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Every episode was fat. I don't need 50-minute episodes of that show.
That's true. It was like 45 to 50 minutes, yeah.
The best part of the show before was the character interactions. It was all just the characters kind of on these solo adventures mainly.
Which supposedly had to do with scheduling conflicts, because most of them, except for probably David Cross, Tobias Fuqua, I don't think that guy really had shit going on. He probably toured with stand-up.
Touring comedian.
Yeah. But, like, you know, Will Arnett, busy man. Michael Cera, busy. Portia de Rossi, not sure. Bateman's been making his own movies. Yeah, it's like scheduling conflicts, supposedly. Sure. Hopefully season 5 they can all make a commitment to get back together.
Well, otherwise there's no point in doing it, I think.
Yeah.
And it was such heavy narration. There was so much of, depending on Ron Howard, narrating things and telling the viewer what's happening.
In instead
of it, instead of it happening in the show at all.
Yeah.
And
you had to dumb it down.
Yeah.
The problem is it got mainstream. Everyone's like, oh, this awesome show, Arrested Development. So all the dumb motherfuckers start watching it. And, they have to tone it down now so they can appreciate it.
I'm actually probably going to say this. I don't think I'll watch season 5.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty hardcore, dude.
I really don't.
I'd give it a whirl. Start it out, see what it's all about.
I can't. I don't think I can.
Can you get into it?
I can't.
Make a little protest?
I'm gonna lose. I'm just gonna be angry in the end. And I'm just gonna be mad at myself.
Sure.
And then I'm gonna take it out of my dog. And then it's not. I don't want to do it.
Well, her ribs already show enough.
Yeah,
so
no, she's a good punching bag.
Okay, he jokes. We love animals.
Yeah,
fuck off, PETA.
I don't have any interest, man. They killed it for me. What I knew was going to happened.
Yeah.
After 7-8 years, from not filming. Not writing, no consistency. As much as you try to even get the same writers together, that flow, that moment in time, you can't recapture that. You can't recapture that magic to make it how you had it before. And they tried, and it bastardized it. And it really, like, it makes the whole series comes down a notch because of that.
That's a good point. It truly does. And kind of on a smaller scale, since they did the whole, like, independent episodes thing, I feel like they gave the main characters more airtime, showtime, if you will, this season. Which I realize Michael, Jason Bateman's character, was technically the main character.
Yeah.
But it's the other characters that made the show and that people fell in love with.
Right.
For instance, take fucking Buster Bluth. One of my favorites. If you're going back to the very first season, actually, I think it was like 1 or 2 episodes in. It showed how great and brilliant his character was when, like, he's so neurotic. Remember when he's in his mother's apartment and he's trying to get a bird, like a pigeon, out of there, and he's like, it walked across my pillow, like just like little things like that. Buster got like one fucking episode in season 4. It's like 1 or 2 tops.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, Michael Cera and Jason Bateman's characters, they got like the lion's share.
A ton of Portia de Rossi.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And she looked horrible. Did she have work done or
tons
what?
Of work done. Yeah. Yeah. Ellen was making her, having her do a facial reconstruction surgery to make her look like herself. So
I don't think that's too far off from the truth.
You know, what was the singer, the big epic, the guy?
Liberace?
Yeah. He actually had a, shockingly enough, a lover who was gay. I don't know if you knew this about him, but he was gay.
I did know.
Yeah.
Only because Matt Damon was in a movie about
it. Yeah, Behind the Candelabra.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I never saw it. Yeah. I saw the trailer.
I heard it was actually pretty good.
I did too. So, I have no interest in watching it, but
I never will either. But he actually, Liberace actually paid to have this guy. They did a bunch of resurgeries to make him look more like himself. He was trying to convert this guy he was fucking to look like himself. Hmm. I personally, I don't want to fuck myself. Well, I fuck myself regularly. Figuratively and literally.
This kind of goes back to that age-old question. If you could, like, meet yourself in a parallel dimension, like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or something, and you, like, literally meet yourself, and you were, like, trapped in a room with yourself for 1 hour, what would you do? I would have my other self probably blow me, because you know what? Nobody knows how to please me quite like I do. And you know what? My girlfriend is great at it, yes, but you know what? I still know my body better than anybody else. And so if there's another version of me, that version of me would know how to please myself like nobody else would. So I'd probably take a BJ. Yeah,
this is the, I feel like we've learned a lot right now.
It's not a gay thing. It's me blowing
myself.
No,
it's not a gay thing. It's another dude who looks a lot like me.
Looks exactly. Who is me, motherfucker?
Blowing me. Uh-huh. So, this is like, I feel like that's not, I can't get down with that. I can't get down with that.
You wouldn't let yourself blow yourself.
No, I can't blow myself. I couldn't do it.
Yourself would be blowing yourself.
Are we talking about, like, to completion? Do you swallow?
Well, it depends.
With the confidence of he swallowed.
Well, you bet he does, because you know what? It's me, so it's not weird.
Why don't you blow him, then? What if he's the other? What if he wants you to blow him?
Well, if we're in my world, he's blowing me. And you know what? Maybe I wouldn't blow him.
But to him, you're in his world.
If I had to blow him to get a BJ, then you know what? It'd be fine because it's me. It's not like some dude off the street.
Right, but you're not
it's
getting the pleasure of getting blown. You're getting the pleasure of blowing the guy. But your alternate you is getting the blowjob.
Since I know how I like to get blown, that means that he will blow me exponentially well. So it would be worth it for me to blow myself first.
So,
we're entering some paradoxes here, but it would work.
I gotta say no. I can't blow myself.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. So, if you met yourself, it's literally exactly you, just like some kind, like not a clone, but like you, just somehow split off. And you were trapped in a room together for an hour. Would you sit there and talk to each other? You'd have nothing to gain from it. You'd get bored after like 10 minutes because you both have the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same opinions. So like, what exactly would you do?
I'd take a nap.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
I think blowing him wouldn't be the first thing that'd come to mind.
No, he would blow you.
But why he blow me? What if he's thinking? If we're the same person,
because you're
the
one controlling this. Because you're the one controlling this universe.
Oh well, that's okay. Well, if I'm the one controlling it, then why am I trapped in a room with some other guy?
Because this particular instance.
this is a terrible scenario put together.
It works.
All right. I feel like we should move on from the.
To the original topic.
From the blowjob. I don't like that. Should we get in the movie thing?
Yeah, I feel like this has been a very entertainment-heavy episode, but I'm okay with that.
Let's just keep it going.
Can I say this real quick before getting into movies? Neither of us saw the same movie to review, but you know what I just downloaded? I got a copy of the Blu-ray early. Neighbors. Liked it a lot, dude. As you know, I'm a big Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, those kind of guys. Jonah Hill wasn't in it, but Neighbors was good. And it's got a girl that I would be close on my top three list named Rose Byrne. Yeah, look her up. There you go. It's Byrne, Byrne. First name Rose. She was in, like, the I've tried to point this girl out to you before. And, like, you're always, like, fucking with your phone. And I'm like, dude, look at the screen right now. She's on camera. I'm trying to show you this. And you'd always be dicking around with your phone. So you missed her. But she's an Australian actress.
Well, I can't pay attention every time you're drunk and want me to look at your phone. Pictures of you blowing yourself.
This is at a movie theater.
this girl? Yeah, she's alright.
Yeah, she's a cutie. Anyways, she was in Neighbors co-starring with Seth Rogen. There's a weird scene where, like, his fat self is, like, fucking the shit out of her.
She kind of looks like a young... A little bit of a... She's got a little, like, Selma Hayek in her.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing, actually. Like, a young, whiter Selma Hayek.
Somewhere between, like, Selma Hayek and, what's that girl's name? Whitney Cummings.
If you the put horrible Whitney, female comedian.
Yeah, she's fucking terrible.
Yeah. She yells her act like this every day.
She is not funny, dude. She was on the Adam Carolla show the other morning. And just not funny.
Dude, you had to turn your podcast, you had to turn your headphones down, right? She just yells her entire shit.
It was rough. Well, and she was very, she's super misandrous, dude. Mm. Like, hates men, you could tell. I don't know what her stepdad did to her, but she hates men.
Yeah.
I mean, every time, you know, they made a joke about, Carolla made a joke about women having small brains, and some guy in the audience laughed. Well, fuck him for laughing at a joke by a comedian whose show it is.
Yeah.
They're at a live show. And she's like, oh, you want to laugh at that? Look at you. You got fucking, you know, nice t-shirt and tattoos. Why don't you go fucking get a brain? It's like, dude, how fucking angry are you? Jesus Christ.
Seriously.
Like, I realize comedians hate themselves.
She's supposed to be a comedian and take a joke.
Yeah. Well, how funny can she be? She created the show Two Broke Girls. That's her.
That was her shit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, anytime I see her on one of the Comedy Central roasts of, she's just awful. She just yells her act. She's brash. She's fucking abrasive. She's just not funny.
No.
But Neighbors, man, worth a watch. It's funny. Zac Efron, I will say this, man, he is a stud McMuffin. Good-looking guy, good acting. He could be the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Would you let him blow you if you guys trapped in a room together for an hour?
Yeah, probably.
Your alternate self, would you?
Yeah, most likely. It would have to be my alternate self would be getting blown by Zac Efron. But you know what? It could be an honor. He's probably good at it. He's a beautiful man. I'm not afraid to admit it because I'm comfortable with my sexuality.
What if there's two of him and it was him blowing himself?
I'd beat off to a yes.
You? Okay.
Yeah.
There's it's like the inception of fucking blowjobs here.
Right.
So
blowception.
Anyway.
But, worth a watch. Interesting film.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Inception, we are going to be discussing most overrated movies this week.
That's right.
And
part of our movie series from continuing last week.
I think we're going to try and get into gritty reboots, but we're going to have to see where we're
at. I've got a few good ones that I think are good that I want to talk about. So
Okay. We've
got about, I don't know, 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes left. So let's try to blow through these overrated ones, and we'll talk about a few of my gritty
reboots.
Let's
not say the word blow today, okay? I feel like I'm just disturbed by it every time. I don't want to... Can we just say go through them, or you... Let's talk about... Let's discuss... No, I don't even want to use the word... I don't even want to say talk, because that implies mouths. Let's cover them? No! I don't want to... Let's just say let's movies.
Let's movies. Alright. So last week, for you listeners out there, we talked about what makes a perfect film in our list of perfect films.
Yeah.
We're continuing the movie series with overrated films we think are considered overrated, whether they were critically acclaimed or just loved by fans, whatever. I think next week we should also do underrated.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So we're on board
with that. We kind of want a theme here we're moving on, so.
Yeah. So let's start with overrated. I have a feeling that we're going to have two or I only came up with eight. We're supposed to do ten. It was hard. I only came up with ten, or I mean eight. And I have a feeling that a couple of them are going to overlap with yours.
I think so. I did get 10 in a sense. Two of them were kind of you'll see.
Okay.
So
let's like we did last time, one for one.
So
you start. What's number one for you?
First on my list, Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
That movie fucking blows AIDS infested donkey cock.
Thank you. It does.
It is a piece of shit. Like, I want to kick everyone in the face whoever told me to watch that movie. Fuck that movie, dude.
It's not funny.
No, it's not.
Stupid. It's not even character-driven that's funny. Like, SNL is character comedy.
Right.
And that's what this movie is trying to pass itself off of as, and it's not.
None of the characters are, you can't relate to them. You can't revel in what they're doing, good or bad.
True.
They're just, there's no development to these characters whatsoever.
Tina, you fat cow. Okay, hilarious.
A liger's my favorite animal.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. How is
yeah.
Who fucking wrote that and be like, oh, that's fucking funny.
That's
we gotta
genius.
Keep that.
Comedy brilliant.
The movie is terrible, dude. Everyone's like, no, you have to watch it. And I feel like I have a pretty broad sense of humor. I can go from like slapstick to sarcastic to
certainly.
You know, visual, you know, as long as you know I
Big Lebowski.
Yeah. So I and I'm watching this thing, and I don't think if I even cracked a smile the entire time I watched it.
Yeah, that's how I felt the first time I watched it. I was watching it with a couple of people. When this came out, I was like 14, I think, somewhere around there. My best friend at the time loved it. He was actually out of state, and I was
staying. You had to have been older than that.
It wasn't much, dude.
I watched it when I was like 23 years old, and it was a little past when it came out, but I feel like
look at it real quick. For some reason, my internet isn't working very well on my PC. Check yours out. I couldn't have been much older than that when it first came out, because my best friend at the time, I didn't really know past the age of like 15, 16, because he moved away. But at any rate, I watched it with his parents, because they said he loved it. I was actually staying with them because my parents were out of town. I tried watching it with them, and I had to force some laughs so they wouldn't think I was weird for not
like a dick.
Yeah, exactly, because their son loved it so much.
Did he like it? So he liked
it. He fucking loved it.
And then you stopped being friends with this guy because he sucks.
That's probably why. Yeah, he turned into a full blown Mormon, actually, which is why we quit hanging out. What do you got? Should be showing up.
For some reason, my internet is being a fucking slut right now.
Yeah, I was having the problem on my computer too. I couldn't get it to work. So okay, well, either way, this goes with one of my picks as well. To me, Napoleon Dynamite was, and I realize it was made independently, but it was a major studio that distributed it. Whereas this next film that I'm going to mention was a major studio that made it and released it, but it's them masquerading as trying to be independent.
It was 2004.
Okay. Okay, actually, then, yeah, I would have been like 19. All
right. Yeah, that sounds right. Because I was like 23 and I saw it late.
That's when it came out? Holy shit.
Yeah, that sounds right. So
I was living in Spokane at the time, and I saw this in Olympia. Are you positive it's 2004 when it came out?
2004 comedy written by Jared, yeah, 2004.
Okay, weird. All right, anyways, next film, Juno, which has your beloved Ellen fucking, what's her name?
Ellen Page. Yeah, fuck Diablo Cody.
Who's that? Ryder?
Yeah. You don't know who Diablo Cody is?
No.
Oh my god.
But hold up. So Juno is literally Hollywood as trying to masquerade around as independent to capture some of that trend.
Right.
But to me, it was just so shockingly bad. Like it was Hollywood masquerading around as trying to be indie.
Absolutely.
And the people that liked the movie, that loved that movie, were the same kind of douchebags.
Well, and it created this whole trend of like quirky movies, exactly, and quirky girls,
independent, you know, and quirky. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Like, you know, it's like the brand new generation of punky Brewsters. Mm-hmm. If anyone besides me remembers that,
yeah.
So, yeah, she was. Let's see. Yeah, she wrote Juno.
Wait, and her name is Diablo.
Well, her real name's Brooke Morio.
But she goes by Diablo.
Diablo Cody.
Okay, this movie was pretentious just like that bitch.
Yeah. She's some fucking tatted up, dumb fucking cunt. She's really talented. No, she wrote Juno, then she wrote Jennifer's Body.
Oh, with Megan Fox?
Yeah.
Who gives hacks like this money? It's like M. Night Shyamalan. How are they still giving him money to make movies?
I don't think they are anymore.
After the last Avatar, yeah. What's his IMDb page say? Does he have anything coming out?
Oh, fuck. No way. There can't be any way he does.
You can't. Well, you would think. You would have thought that after the fucking Village or Lady in the Water. Yeah, he still had like two movies after that.
Well, he had a couple movies after that, because he did that, the Happening.
Yeah.
And he did he didn't direct, but he was a producer on that
Devil.
Yeah.
Yep. And he directed the last Avatar,
The Last Airbender.
All right, what do you got next up on your list?
Hey. Love of my life to hate.
Okay.
Inception.
Yep. Got that too.
This is a terrible movie. I was discussing this with people last night. One of my buddies and his girlfriend, who are both huge Christopher Nolan fans.
Kate.
Yeah. I forgot. He also directed After Earth. That piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, with Will Smith and his annoying
M. Night
kid.
Shyamalan, yeah. I mean, that thing bombed.
I hate
like
Jaden
crazy,
Smith
dude.
So much. It's like, yes, I don't know him personally, but I just hate that kid for some reason.
Yeah. I guess he's got a movie this year that he's filming called Sundowning that he direct produced.
Another
and
stupid
wrote,
title.
And then some in 2015 called Labor of Love. This
Jesus
is M. Night Shyamalan
Christ.
We're talking about.
Okay, where's he getting his funding from at this point? Because all of his movies have bombed since Signs.
It's a single mother finds the things in her family's life go wrong after two young children visit their grandparents.
The twist is that she's not the heir
she's
of
not
whoever.
Really the grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck this guy.
And M. Night Shyamalan's gonna have like a cameo as like the corner store clerk. Yeah. The house realtor.
Yeah, it's like every paradox twist in this movie, that's all he's good for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Yeah, Inception. This movie, everyone lauds it for, oh, it's so well written and so this and so that. And maybe it's just me, the way my mind works as a writer myself. That was the most predictable movie I'd ever seen. I was not interested in the characters at all. I was not drawn in or cared about the characters. The very second.
You knew how it was going to end with the spinning?
At minute 22. Minute 22, and he's like, this is my top. This is how I know if I'm in reality or not. I go, okay, well, that's how the movie's going to end.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's exactly how it ended. And it's like, if I can come up with a movie, the ending to a Hollywood blockbuster movie, it shouldn't be allowed to be a Hollywood blockbuster movie. Either that or start fucking paying me to write these pieces of
shit. Sure, probably that. Yeah, and this movie stood out to me specifically. I think we actually talked about this on one of the first podcasts, but I'm big into lucid dreaming. I'm all about, and you are too, as I know, dude. I love to lucid dream. Some of my earliest memories as a child are like having dreams that were so vivid that I could control. So that's always been of interest to me. I love it. Anyway, who the fuck dreams like the dreams they had in Inception? Nobody. I mean, yeah, it can be in other people's heads, but dude, who dreams like that? Nobody does. Probably. Yeah. Like, the fucking dream worlds were stupid. The premise could have been brilliant, but as we all know, he stole it from an old DuckTales comic.
Yeah.
Overrated as tits, man. It was had such promising, such a promising premise and plot.
Yeah, it has an interesting
but he fucking
concept.
Ruined it.
The guy. I give Christopher Nolan this. He shoots a beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say I lend a lot of that to his director of photography.
Sure, that's the same guy, probably, right?
Yeah. Same guy. You know, a guy like Christopher Nolan has the same DP.
Yeah,
he's got the same DP.
A lot of big time directors like to work with the same crew, actors, and like you said, DPs, editors.
Oh yeah, totally. So there is there's actually a movie. His name's Wally Pfister. He was the
Pfister.
Or Pfister, maybe. We'll let's call him Pfister.
Hope, yeah.
Yeah,
is it PF? Is it PF?
Yeah. We'll just call him Wally P.
Wally PF.
Yeah, he is the guy who is Nolan's DP on all the Dark Knight, Inception, everything like that. He actually just came out with a movie a while back, last summer or earlier this year, called Transcendence with Johnny Depp.
Oh,
this was his directorial debut. This is actually really good movie. I suggest anyone go see it.
What's it called?
Transcendence.
With Johnny Depp.
And I'm not
Is
a Johnny
it about
Depp
transcendence
fan.
Meditation?
It's
crossing the planes and shit?
Kind of. It's hard to explain. It has a little bit to do with AI and like kind of transferring your soul, if you could transfer the soul of a human into a machine.
Okay.
So it's very interesting. So I suggest everyone go see Transcendence.
I'm gonna write that
directed
down.
Directed by Wally Pfister.
Fister.
But Christopher Nolan's problem is the guy shoots a beautiful movie, probably partly to attribute to Wally Pfister.
Mm.
And
thanks, Feist.
Feist Dog. I think he's a member of the Wu-Tang Clan. Feist Dog.
An associative member.
Yeah.
Not part of the original.
He's
clan.
Like Capadonna. He's not like an official member, but he's kind of a member.
Like Red Man or Method Man, whoever it was,
The guy has this problem though when he makes a movie. He has some like this moral. He has like this moral finish line that he wants to get to. Okay? And he's the guy that tries so hard to get to this finish line. Like,
sure.
Just consistently beating this drum of this moral the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
That about the 12th. Look, in The Dark Knight Returns? Or what's the second one? Dark Knight?
Just The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Yeah. In The Dark Knight, about the 12th time, Batman says, I'm the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Harvey Dent is the White Knight.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, yeah, okay, I fucking get it. Like, he's got to be the face to the people that is the, you know, the what projects. You guys both have the same common goals, but you have to kind of be the fall guy, and you'll take that, you know, you'll take that onus, and he gets to stand up front and be the guy who everyone respects, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But what you're doing works hand in hand.
Well, what you just said about that line about how he's, it's like a race for the finish line to the morality or whatever, dude, that was spot on. Absolutely.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Like, as a cinematographer, don't tell us a million times.
Mm-hmm.
Show us. Show us through the actions of the characters, subtly through the things they do.
Exactly.
You know, no. If he has to tell them 12 times, say it 12 times.
That's bad filmmaking at that point. Bad storytelling.
Absolutely. So. All
right. So next one I got is kind of goes back to the whole independent fair, except this was actually independent, unlike Juno. Donnie Darko.
That almost made my list.
Did it? Okay, yeah, I hate that piece of shit movie, dude.
I do too.
It's okay. I'll say this very.
Every fucking goth kid. I hate my stepdad. I cut myself. Fuck
it. It could have been cool.
Marilyn Manson listening to fucking faggot.
I'll say this very. I did understand the movie. So all you idiots out there listening, they're like, you just didn't get it. No, I totally got it.
Well, it's a scary bunny.
Yeah, that. But also, like, the future. Yeah, the future was like the girl that he fell in love with. He has to like kill himself so she can live. Blah blah. Anyways, listen. Basically, that's a piece of shit independent film. That had a good budget.
Yeah.
South Park nailed this like years ago. They're spoofing like the Sundance Film Festival, and about how, and like the whole moral of the episode was like, although most independent films suck ass, there are a few gems that kind of get through. That's exactly what Donnie Darko was. Donnie Darko had a huge budget, an A-list cast, so it was actually semi decently made.
Right.
But it was still a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, look, everyone wants to say they fucking jerked off to the great, like. This artsy movie is like, oh, did you get it? With the big, you know, the scary rabbit and stuff like that. It's like, did you get it? Oh, you just didn't get it.
Why are you wearing that stupid man suit?
Yeah.
It's, dumbass
line. It is such a shitty movie, dude. I am not.
I hate Richard Kelly.
With you there. I'm with
Fuck
you there.
That guy.
I don't like that movie at all.
What do you got next?
We were talking about M. Night Shyamalan earlier.
Okay.
Sixth Sense.
Oh, interesting. That didn't even cross my mind.
That is a super overrated movie in my mind. People always talk about how much they love that movie.
The twist! I remember that one came out, dude. I was like 13 when that one came out, I think. 14. And like, the twist! Oh my god, you got... I'm not even going to tell you. You got to see it. The twist. Oh my god, the twist. Okay. Predictable.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing about the twist is about minute 22, and I'm sitting there going, okay, so like... and I didn't even realize it was going to be the twist. I'm just like, so, okay... Bruce Willis is dead. He's a ghost right now. And I'm still watching the movie with that knowledge. And then when, like, that's the twist and everyone's freaking out, I'm going... I'm looking around at everyone in the theater. I'm going, wait a minute. You guys didn't see that? Am I the only one who fucking realized that this guy was a ghost this whole time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you notice that no one was ever talking directly to him? He was kind of always looking off screen. The conversations they were having weren't exactly linear. You know, it was just very disjointed. And you were supposed to play out, it was supposed to be the idea that, oh, well, they're disconnected from each other because they're not married or divorced or whether they were sort of separated or whatever it was.
Precisely.
That's what they were trying to imply. But no, he was dead. It was pretty fucking obvious, I thought.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I would agree. Next up on mine is, and this is kind of taking it back a ways, so maybe this doesn't even count because we try to come up with what makes, like, points for what makes a perfect film. Maybe this doesn't count because it's too old, so at the time it was awesome, but Edward Scissorhands.
That almost made my list, too.
Did it? Okay, I actually enjoy that film. That was back... I still love that film to this day. I've got a sweet custom Edward Scissorhands painting in my
office,
as you know.
Absolutely. It's
that was Tim
badass.
Burton at his best. Maybe a couple years after that is when he peaked. Like, he's a great visionary. I love his style. But I think I picked this because it just really doesn't hold up. It's so cultly loved, and it's so overrated. It just doesn't hold up, man. I don't know.
It's a movie that everyone loves to say they love.
Yeah.
But ask anyone when the last time they saw it was.
Well stated, absolutely.
And probably it's been at least a decade, if not longer.
Yeah.
And if they watch it again, they'd be like, oh, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they want to still love it.
Where do the huge ice blocks come from that he's carving out of the show? Like, not that it should matter, but...
You know, we went... I actually, it was two years ago, probably, they were showing it at the Garland for a dollar.
I remember this, yeah. You went and saw it.
And I went and saw it, and it was like... The magic was not there. It was okay. It wasn't bad. But there was a certain point where I'm like, all right, I'm kind of over it. I kind of get it.
Okay.
You know? Because here's the thing with that movie. It's not really funny. The characters are, pretty bland.
They really are, yeah.
You know, because everyone's either over the top, this bubbly fake... kind of like Stepford Wives society.
Well stated, yeah.
Or then there's the huge contrast.
It's too over the top for it.
Right. Yeah. And then there's a huge contrast of Edward Scissorhands, who has zero personality.
Yeah, zero.
Like,
he's
literally
a fucking mannequin.
Yeah, like literally zero personality. So it's like, I'm like, who am I trying to... So the only thing I'm doing is at times I might feel bad because he looks stupid.
Yeah. And he doesn't get society. Right. He's an outcast.
And beyond that, it's like, it's not really funny. It's not really sad. It's not really action-packed. I can't get with the character. It's like, what's the part of this movie that's supposed to compel me to this? Like, okay, the tragic nature of the story, which is told via a perfect utopian, you know, like, suburban community and a guy with scissors on his hands.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's it. That's your vehicle to tell me this story? I don't know.
That's a good point. Very weird.
So, yeah.
What do you got next?
The next on my list, one of the biggest blockbusters of all time, Avatar.
Bam! Thank you, sir. That's on mine, too.
Yeah.
Why did you pick it?
For a couple reasons.
Okay.
First of all, I get it. Like, it was a cinematic feat to make the movie the way it was.
It was. It was groundbreaking in every visual way.
Right.
That's why I can appreciate it, but otherwise, overrated as tits.
Was the payoff worth it?
No.
Was the story...
Well, for money-wise, it was, yeah.
Well, right, but that's what they care about. But from a cinematic standpoint,
yeah,
the story was not there for what they put into it. And what is the story? The story's cowboys versus Indians.
Yeah, it's dancing with wolves in space.
Literally. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what it is. So we've told that story a million times in a million ways. Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's the point. He told a beloved story, if you will, with incredible groundbreaking special effects.
Overrated, not needed. I would have rather him told that story, or not that story. Use those effects to tell an original story.
Okay.
Then you've got something. If you can use those groundbreaking effects and tell an original story, you've just created something special.
True. And maybe the two or three planned sequels will be. Who knows? Because then one's supposed to be like underwater. I mean, who knows how they're going to continue? Like, but
yeah.
So. I agree. Next one for me is kind of similar, but we're going back almost, actually, I think exactly 20 years. Forrest Gump.
All right.
Entertaining film, don't get me wrong, entertaining film. At the time, the special effects were incredible. They're just dated now. They don't hold up. And I just think it's that good of a movie, quite frankly.
I entertain the idea of putting that on my list also.
Okay.
But I figured I'd get enough hate mail already.
Probably.
Because I don't think it holds up that well either.
It doesn't hold up at all, dude. Like, the way the mouths move, with, like, when they're saying Forrest Gump's name, like, with the Beatles and shit. It's Jurassic Park came out, like, 2 years before that.
Yeah.
And that was killer, like we talked about last podcast.
Right.
They could have done better with Forrest Gump. But yeah, I agree. For the whole thing, it was still breakthrough-ish. I get it, but it just doesn't hold up. It's not a great film.
Yeah, I started
thinking about
it. Why
does he keep chasing this chick with AIDS the whole time?
Yeah, I don't think the story's all that great. It was groundbreaking, interesting for its time. But yeah, I don't think it really... Comparatively, movies we've made since that are non-linear or span so much time in someone's life and have really kind of made it more obsolete.
Yeah.
So.
Precisely.
Next on mine was one that I mentioned actually as a potential honorable mention for...
You and I've got the same one, I'm pretty sure, then.
Usual Suspects?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We've had this discussion. I like this movie...
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining, but it's...
The acting is great, the dialogue is great.
There's some cool shots, but it's kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. The paradox twist at the end is cool, especially the first time you see it, it blows your mind.
Sure.
Then when you... It does. It does blow your mind.
It didn't blow my mind.
Come on, it blows your mind the first time, but look, it blows your mind when you first see it, but then looking back on it and the way they developed it, it's kind of cheap.
Yes, and you've heard me rant about this before. Like, this is my whole take on it. To me, that is just cheap storytelling. The whole plot, the whole everything is fabricated by Verbal Kent, Kevin Spacey, naming things in the office like Kobayashi. That's the company that makes the ceramic coffee mugs, and he sees that. But you know what? There's no way for the viewer to pick up on this until the very end. So it's not like a true whodunit mystery where you can like somehow maybe pick up pieces.
Where you get the clues along. Too.
It's at the very last like 4 minutes of the movie. The fucking Chaz Pilmanari, whatever his name is, the detective.
Yeah.
He's like looking around, like glancing around his office, and there's like, he sees Kobayashi on the coffee mug, and other names here and there, and other names, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're supposed to pick up, that's what Verbal Kent was talking about the whole time. Yeah. That's just lazy, cheap storytelling to me. I'm sorry. It is.
Kind of is. And to be fair, Bryan Singer just doesn't make good movies either.
Dude, he's an overrated. Maybe we should do that. Overrated ass directors.
Man, that list goes easy. Let's see. Bryan Singer. Yeah, well, Spielberg. Tarantino, Michael Bay, M. Night Shyamalan, who's the other, Christopher Nolan, Kevin Smith. I'm already at seven. You want me to keep going?
I think we've nailed it. I think we got it. Now, my last one, and we're getting close on time. We got to wrap this up.
A couple more still. How do I always end up with...
Well, I only did eight this time for some reason. Oh, okay. But Slumdog Millionaire.
I never saw it.
Okay, you're not missing shit, dude. You've heard about it. It won Academy Awards. It's by Danny Boyle, who did Trainspotting.
I don't like that movie either.
You didn't like that? Okay, I enjoyed that movie. Maybe it's because I'm Scottish. I don't know, or Scottish heritage, but I think he's a decent director. He's made a few things since Slumdog Millionaire that are also very jerk-off motion, as I'm making. But Slumdog Millionaire, man, I can't believe it swept the Academies like it did. Yeah. What an overrated pile of shit.
Well, it's very easy for the fucking Hollywood left-wing liberal assholes to be like...
True.
To get behind poor India. Like, you know, any dickhead is like, oh, you know, it's these fuckers with, like, you know, end hunger, bumper stickers on their Prius. It's like,
Brooks, not bombs.
Yeah, and great. That's great. Who's not with you on that? But what are you fucking doing about it?
True.
So, well, I'll crank out the last few on mine.
All right.
Because I still got, like, five left for some reason.
Okay.
This one might be a little controversial, but I put Terminator 2 on my list of overrated movies.
You know, that crossed my mind as well, but the funny thing is that almost went on my perfect list as well.
I actually considered it as a perfect movie also, because so many people do, but the more I started thinking about it, I'm like...
There are a lot of plot holes. Special effects were great for the time, though. Right. You know.
It's a good movie. I'll watch it anytime. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But people laud it as like this great, amazing movie. I'm like,
true,
dude, it's about a cyborg from the future.
It goes back in time, yeah.
It goes back in time.
And protects his bratty ass kid.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it. It's
honestly, like, that film doesn't hold up, in my opinion, for the most part. Mostly because of, what's that little shit's name? He's also in American History X.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I forget the kid's name, but like, it's like, yeah, and someone steps to you, you tell them, eat me! Or like his little attitude is like an obnoxious 12-year-old kid voice.
Yeah.
So hold up. What else you got?
Next, I got American Beauty.
We kind of discussed that last week, too. I didn't put that on here because I actually think it's a great film.
I remember enjoying it. I haven't seen it in a long time. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I only watched it once in the theater, and I remember enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But I want to say this. I think it's... was overrated too. People tried to say what an amazing movie was. Maybe if I went back and watched it again, I'd find new appreciation for it.
Sure.
Still find it overrated. Caddyshack's on my list.
Okay, can I say, fuck you. Caddyshack is fucking hilarious, dude.
It is a funny movie. It is a funny
classic that you're getting at.
It is hilarious. It is a great, it's very funny, but people call it like, it's like Animal House. Maybe I should have put Animal House on this list.
Maybe so. I think that's what
Animal House is. One of these movies that's funny.
John Belushi is
like
overrated.
It.
Sorry, but he is.
Maybe that's fair. But these Caddyshack is not as funny as everyone wants it to be.
Okay.
The last two ones on my list were not really movies so much as a broad strokes statement. Pretty much almost anything by Tarantino.
Naturally, I know you hate Tarantino. I
fucking hate Quentin Tarantino. He's a hack.
Dude, the guy can write dialogue.
Great.
He writes great dialogue. Great. Some of the best in the business.
Helen Keller.
No. Tarantino writes some of the best dialogue in the business. Are you kidding me?
Okay. That doesn't make you a good director.
Okay, that's
a good
point.
You can make good movies.
That's fair.
So, the guy, the only good movie he's made is Pulp Fiction.
What about Reservoir Dogs?
No.
Overrated?
And this is why.
I actually kind of agree it's overrated.
Well, here's the thing. I liked it a lot for a long time until I realized that he actually stole that movie from old Chinese pulp film.
Oh, no shit.
And he literally filmed it almost scene for scene.
I knew that about Kill Bill, like the Kill Bill action scenes. I didn't realize that about Reservoir.
No, it is literally almost scene for scene, this old Chinese pulp film. So he just recreated it.
Okay.
It's not even original. I mean, there's probably some of his original dialogue in there.
Sure.
But to me, it completely took away from the uniqueness of that movie.
Well, that is unfortunate.
And every other movie made it shit.
Sure.
Jackie Brown sucks.
Majorly sucked, yes.
Fucking, I mean, Inglourious Basterds is fucking terrible.
Overrated. Not top 10 overrated, but
no,
overrated.
Just overrated. And then last on my list is pretty much anything with Will Ferrell.
Okay. I didn't even think about that, but I can get on board. We feel the same about Will Ferrell. His humor is like, loud, say loud, random things. That's like the basis of his humor.
And then it's over, yeah.
I think that's so big. Yeah.
I will say this, the first Anchorman movie I find very funny. I do like the first Anchorman movie. The second one was fucking god-awful.
Yes. I couldn't even finish it, dude.
I didn't either.
It was terrible.
About the time he went blind and adopted a shark, I'm like, I'm fucking done, dude. I'm out. I'm fucking out, dude. I can't watch any more of this bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's just so contrived. And then, I don't know, like, Talladega Nights, like, Jesus Blades Christ. Of Glory, like, Tropic Thunder.
Thank God, Tom Cruise, like, bless you, Jesus. Yeah.
Semi-pro. He played for the
Tropics. That was terrible. Will Arnett was the only good thing about that movie. Uh-huh. Oh, no, that was Blades of Glory.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson was in.
That's right.
Or semi-pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, terrible. Fucking terrible, so.
Well, anyway. We're about out of time. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week, we're going to continue the movie series with films that we think are underrated and potentially funny or awesome, badass,
gritty reboots. So maybe we'll keep on that, too.
In the meantime, this has been The Social Hour with the Typical Bastards. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
And I'm Deese.
See you next week.
Take it easy.